Hello, everyone. Welcome to Canine Aids Time. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
We had Danielle from Confident Canines. And we are going to have a bit of a chat about some of the upcoming events we've got that are going to be happening in the next couple of months. First things first, we have an ORT coming up this weekend. Yeah. And that is hosted by the Dog Project, so August 13th on Sunday. And you are entered in that, Danielle?
Yes, I'm entered. All three odors for my 10-month-old pup. Kind of don't really have any real, like, expectations. I think she can do it, but because she's still a pup, we'll just have fun and see how she goes.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm entered in Clove with my mum's dog Buddy, who he only does nose work when he comes to a class situation. So he's four, I think he's four now. And he got his first two. So we only need to do Clove on Sunday.
Yep.
So I'm cautiously optimistic. He has fun no matter what he does. So
he's so happy. He's so happy and cute and fun.
He's just really fun. But we did a training session today with a few others as well. And I think that gave me a little bit of confidence that he can follow a line of boxes and make it to the end.
Yeah, that training session today was fun because Nettle actually hasn't done many, double line box searches, so it was just good to get that context for her, I think.
I was actually really impressed. Like, we had six teams running today, and
yep,
and they all, like, the understanding was very much check the boxes.
Yep.
Which was really cool, and the goal.
Yep.
But it was also really cool to see them working odor too, not just the boxes. It's something like it's for Buddy too that we'll be building on moving forward to other types of containers, and that as well as just that context to check the boxes, but odor will still always pay first. Which is cool. So yeah. I thought I would go over a little and just add in whatever you can sort of think of when I'm going. I don't want to miss anything, and I don't really have it written down. Some of the things to think about when you are running in the ORT on Sunday. And I think I've run in a few ORTs now.
Yep.
And I think it's really good to come into the ORT and having set yourself up sort of properly outside the door or outside the area, the search area. This ORT is going to be outside. So I think that'll add an extra complication to it as well. But the more time you can give yourself to set up your dog's lead and harness and all these other things outside of the search area, it just sets you up when you walk in. You can say hello to the judge. You can approach the start line and have a really good picture of your plan and where you're going to go for the search. And I think that leads directly on to your search pattern.
Yep.
And having a plan, but always be willing to, follow the dog to odor instead.
Yeah. I realized today that I do usually have a bit of a plan with the double line, is that I kind of want to go down the middle and the dog starts on the left. No particular reason. That just kind of always seems to be what I end up doing. But it works. I think it works for me. So
I think some dogs will automatically go left or right. I think because a lot of handlers do other dog sports or obedience, or they've come from other types of training, we generally have our dog on the left.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's why I would like my dog to go down the left.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to, I'll have to pay more attention next time I'm judging or anything for an ORT, and just, you know, keep a little tally of which side the dogs prefer to go down first.
Yeah.
I don't know what Buddy does. I think he's left as well.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah. And that's something we didn't really do today, is that, you know, keeping to a pattern. But I think we can have more input down the line. Like, I think for ORTs, you really want the odor to be the main focus, not so much the patterning.
Yep.
I mean, the pattern would be great, but we just want them to have something good odor.
Yes.
Yeah, and for those of you who haven't done one, or if Sunday is your first time doing an ORT, that's what you're sort of looking for, is that change of behavior at the box. You don't have to have a final response or anything like that. Just a understanding that you understand as the handler that is the box that has the odor in it, and a nice big alert so that the judge can and the timer can hear you. And you have to say, you have to say alert at the box that you think the owner is at. Which leads on to rewarding. I think most judges will appreciate if you reward next to the box, because then you don't necessarily drop food on top of the box. Not that it's great to drop food next to it, but just don't drop food. I think
treat choice is really important here. I really try to have big kind of chunks of stuff for trials that aren't crumbly.
Yeah.
You're always fumbling, right, with your treats. Well, I find that I fumble a lot in trials with treats. That's probably my big handling thing I need to be mindful of. Because
I was just going to say, with your treat, like with the big, I think there's a happy size for your dog. Like if it's too big, you run the risk of them either spitting it out or or chomping into it and dropping some.
Yes.
And that's also not great.
I don't tend to have that with my dogs, because they're just kind of whatever size it's down the throat in a second.
That's good. I thought I didn't either, but now Sarah's getting a bit older and she's a bit more gentle with her chewing. And that I was very conscious of that for the Nosework 3 trial, to have like the very correct size treat that's not too small and it's big enough to be like exciting and delicious, but not too big that she's going to have to take, you know, 5 seconds to eat it or have potentially drop it.
I know. And another problem I sometimes run into in trials is I tend to have treats I use in staging areas and moving my dog around. And then I have my odor treats. So sometimes I haven't organized that and I'm walking up to the start and I'm like, oh, I don't have the right treats ready to go. So that's something else to just be mindful of.
Yeah. No, that's because I just use the same treats. And I do think people do change around their treats more than it's not something I really think about, because I just generally use the same treats. I don't think I could keep track of it.
I generally just have two types. So something that I'm just using a lot of if I need to, is because I often have a reactive dog, right? So I often need to use a lot of treats to keep him calm in the staging areas.
So what do you use for your staging area?
So treats? I'll typically use like Prime 100 for staging stuff. And then I'll use something like sausage or chicken for the odor.
Okay. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And then they can also eat more of the Prime 100, because you know
I'm not just feeding them all the fatty stuff.
The McDonald's for dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
no, and I like it because generally, because I'm wanting to keep my dog kind of calm in the staging area, so I don't want to be feeding them that really exciting food. That's another reason.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. I like that. I'm gonna think more about that. From the not dropping food point, I think as soon as you've finished. As soon as you've heard a yes from the judge, which we all will, You want to move out of the search area basically straight away. For starters, it means that you're not as likely to drop more food in the search area. But also it just, it gives the judge and the scribe a little bit of time to write down your results or your certificate or ribbon or whatever the case is after you've finished for that search. So I think that's good as well, just to keep that in the back of your mind, that as soon as you've finished, as soon as you've called alert, you hear the yes, you just take your dog out of the search area. I think that's probably about it. I mean, we've got 3 minutes.
I have something to say.
Yeah.
What should you do if the judge says no?
Oh, that's a good bit. In this very unlikely event, I think if the judge says no, they'll generally direct you to where the odor is so that you have an opportunity to reward your dog. And then the same sort of, I guess, applies, that you reward next to the box. You don't drop any food. But in that case, they'll probably direct you to the exit too.
Yeah.
So you won't be hanging out your dog just chilling next to Oda. You can leave the search area and just head out of the room and get ready for the next one.
Yep.
yes, that was a good point. And yes, if nobody has done an ORT before, you can definitely reward your dog. And you'll have 3 minutes to do the search, and to the best of the timer's ability, you will get a 30-second warning. So I think that's all of the sort of ORT stuff.
I think there was one more thing that you mentioned today, which I think was good, which is, don't feel like you have to use up the whole 3 minutes, particularly if your dog is kind of getting a bit stressed.
Yeah, I think it's important to just keep an eye on how your dog's feeling in a search. And I think, as Michelle Ellison said, this the best is that if you're still in the search area and you've done everything that you can, there's a good chance your dog's just not going to catch odor and not going to find it. They would have either found it already or they're not going to find it at all. And I think sometimes we can leave our dogs hanging out there a little bit long, and sometimes it's okay to walk away and miss one. Or on the other hand, use it as if you go, all right, we're done here, let's use this as a training opportunity, ask the judge and say, look, we're going to change this to a training opportunity. Can you tell me where the odor is and we'll restart?
Yeah, I like that as well as an option.
You can also restart your dog. If you find that you're getting into a bit of a pickle, or, your dog's starting to run around in circles or get in a bit of a loop, and you're losing a bit of control, you can always, take your dog out a little bit and then just re-cue them and start again. I think people forget that that's an option as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the best options to do. If your dog is just totally lost, confused, or really distracted as well, I think it's always good to just take a few seconds, reset them, restart.
Yeah, and it's resetting yourself too.
Exactly.
Because it's, you can start to panic a little bit when that happens.
Yeah. And you can always make it beneficial, go to the other end and just start from there, because at least you're giving a bit of a different picture and maybe that will help your dog.
Yeah. And I think especially when the ORT is outside and you don't know where the wind may be going or coming, your dog may need to hit it from a different side. So I think that is important to make sure that we give the dog every opportunity to check each box from both sides.
Yep.
Because it is easy to blow past the odor box and they haven't, had a chance to check the scene where the most odor is coming out of.
Exactly. How much attention will you be paying to the wind?
I'm definitely going to try and be aware of it.
Yes.
But it is one of those things that it's something you look back on and go, oh, I really should have paid more attention to that.
Yes.
So I think it's one of those things, you know, the, like I said, the less things you have to do at the start line, that's something that you can sort of clock while you're standing there. You're going, all right, well, that's pretty strong. Let's you know, make sure that we go a bit slower, or we run into the wind or back, or either way.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like to overthink the wind. Like, I want to be aware of it, but I often find if I think about it too much, I second guess myself and go, well, where is it really coming from? What does that mean? Et cetera. So I think just,
yeah,
don't overthink it too much.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to be aware of, particularly if it's quite strong.
Yeah.
I imagine that the places, I think this is at a school, I imagine it's not going to be in a wind tunnel or anything like that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah. The other thing, I think it's good to remember to take your dog up and back the same, or the in the opposite direction.
Yep.
So if you're going up the row, you want to make sure that they have an opportunity to hit that same row the opposite direction maybe the next time.
Absolutely.
I think that is really important. And that'll be important for me and Buddy, because I think it is a newer dog. He really does need to get a lot of, or have odor presented to him in the best possible way for success.
Yep.
Yeah. Some of these same principles apply to your searches when you're in a class situation. And I guess what I mean by that, especially when you're, you know, when you're in a group, in a class of six or however many teams there are, often we're really concerned about holding people up, or, you know, we rush our searches. And I think that it needs to become a little bit more generally acceptable for us to make sure that we've taken care of our dog first.
100%.
And I think some people are really good at that. Like if I walk outside and I'm like, all right, who's next? And they're not sort of quite ready and they're off taking their dog to the bathroom, or, you know, I think that's really good. Mm. You know, your instructor is always going to want to make sure that your dog is being given every opportunity to go to the toilet before they get to the search area any day of the week. Like, they would prefer that to happen elsewhere than in the search. And they would rather wait longer. And I mean, accidents happen, but I think that's one of the big ones, is making sure that your dog is ready to search.
Yep.
And the same thing again, you know, set your dog up in class like you sort of would at a trial. Make sure you're ready when you come in. Make sure that you have your plan set out, and, you know, you have your lead. I think often people get to the start line, they start their search and then they go, oh crap, my lead's all messed up or tangled or something like this. And I think that's really important as well, to have your lead sort of organized, your treat. Oh, this is another one. Your treat bag at least accessible to your treats.
Yeah.
And that sounds silly, but there's a lot of people that get to that first hide and they go to grab their treat and they realize that the treat pouch is shut.
Yep.
It's in a snap block that's shut, and they could be there for about, you know, 20 seconds trying to get their treat out. Meanwhile, the dog is like, this game isn't as great as I thought it was.
Yeah, I'm totally guilty of not opening up my Ziploc bag.
You're one of them, hey? I do that. The very rare times I use a treat pouch anymore, I used it today because it was just too hot to wear my vest. And I close the top so that the flies can't get in while I'm inside. And it's something I had to remember today. It was to make sure that the top was open before I went into search.
Yes.
And it's a real problem. So I get it. But yeah, I think that's another one. You know, it's such a little thing, but it really does take away from your search if you're not ready when you come into class. And the other one leaving the search area after you finished. I think that is really important too. Like, you hit that last hide, or maybe there's only one hide And often you're rewarding your dog. Your instructor might have a couple of things to say to you after that, whether it's just, oh, you know, look out for this on your video or whatever it is. Because often it's difficult to talk to people while they're searching because they're so focused on the search and they're looking at their dog, and you don't want to give them extra things to think about. So as an instructor, I sort of try and wait until the end to, give any feedback. And I think it's really good for teams to, once they've hit that last hide, or if there's anyone hide, reward their dog, and then needs to be part of that routine to immediately leave the search area as soon as you're done sort of searching.
Yeah. Because you just don't want your dog hanging out around odor and you're ignoring them.
Yeah, and it really does happen, and it happens way more than I think people realize, they don't realize, I don't think. And they often take their eyes off their dog because then they look to the instructor to get that feedback.
Yeah.
And they're not looking at their dog, and the dog goes back to odor. So that's why I think it's really important to walk completely away from the search area.
Yes. And I also think it's good for your dog to not be left hanging in those moments. I think those moments are good to practice, right? Like your dog should be okay waiting around after a search or before a search while people talk, because that's also part of the trialing picture a lot of the time. But I tend to have a routine where if I'm finished a search, moved a bit away, stuff is happening, people are talking, I'll just bend down and be giving my dog pats. Like Rory just likes his chest being scratched or something, just so that they're not wondering, oh, what should I be doing right now?
Yeah, I think that's it too. And it's not if your dog's uncomfortable, or if it's not a situation that is good for your dog, I don't think, I think people should be able to say to their instructor, can I put my dog away and then, I'll come straight back and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Or say, we're working up to this sort of chilling out after the search for a couple of seconds. I don't think any instructor would be disappointed about that. As long as they get to say their 2 cents, they're fine. I agree. I think it is good for the dog also to have that sort of you're finished searching, no longer searching, we're just going to stand over here for a second.
Yeah.
And it does happen in trials. It will happen in every single trial you go into.
Yep.
It's pretty rare that you will go to it, maybe the nose work threes, where you don't know what's, you can't wait for anything. They're like, see you later, goodbye. I think it is. I agree. I think it is good practice. Treats. I know it's just general class, good class etiquette, but I think we do as a nose work community need to make a little bit more effort not to drop treats in class as well.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, I'm even guilty of it myself, because sometimes I haven't got the right treats ready on the day. So I do have like crumbly treats or something, which end up dropping everywhere. But I always cringe when I see dogs that clearly get a few crumbs from a previous search.
I know. I feel especially newer dogs. And I know that, everything can be a training opportunity.
Yeah.
But there's some, but I think as a whole, we need to avoid it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather set up that training opportunity on purpose.
Exactly.
And I think the choice of treats is really important when it comes to that, because some of the treats, I think it's the chunkers or, some of these other ones, they're wrapped in coconut and all of these little coconut bits fall. and like shredded chicken is a really tricky one. This is a really tricky one as well. And that is shredded cheese.
Yes.
That's very challenging.
I've seen people use that. I would never use that, but I have seen people use it.
Well, I guess I understand it, because there's some people that have really tiny dogs.
Yeah.
Like super tiny dogs. Yeah. So I get why they use it, but I think it would be probably, if I had a really tiny dog and I was conscious about what I was taking to class, I'd probably pick out the pieces that I was going to use for class.
Yep.
And I use this sometimes when I'm lacking in time, I will grab a bag of chicken from Aldi. They've got this like shredded, it's quite salty. So I, you know, try not to get it too much, but it's my backup plan. And that often has little pieces of chicken crumbs and I have to go through and I wash off the pieces of chicken so that all the crumbs come off.
Well, that's very thoughtful and prepared of you. Many people are not that organized. I'm talking about myself.
Well, I figure I really have to practice what I preach, and because usually I've got a class running after my dog runs, so I don't want to watch that class scavenging around on the ground for an hour and a half. So, you know, it's a little bit selfish of me as well to do that. But I think it does make a difference.
It does. That being said, I'm not overly fussed when my own dogs find crumbs because I kind of go, well, they may encounter that in a trial, in a real life situation. So,
When you really think about it, if they're encountering crumbs, it's most likely that they're near a hide.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is if they hit the crumbs and then they're like, well, maybe there's more crumbs and they don't have enough stick to odor that they'll go hunting for odor as well. Yeah. That's when it becomes
so that, a real problem. And so that it's all information, right? Like if I see my dog eating crumbs, I want to see them lift their head and go straight back to searching, not scavenging.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the goal. I think that's probably all I wanted to say about, you know, sort of class etiquette. And I don't even know if that's the right word to call it, but,
I don't know.
Class habits.
Etiquette's kind of a scary word for things you have to do. And
I think it's just
it's more like, class tips, I guess, tips to maximize your success and to help out classmates.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to put it. And just to create good habits for yourself and for the people searching around you.
Yep.
I think it's just nice. And this is the other thing we were talking about treats. But I think over time, sometimes people start to get a little bit complacent about the value of their treats.
100%, yes.
And it's not something I really clicked into until recently. And because someone, you know, one of the students sort of said, oh, maybe I should bring a higher value treat. In my mind, I was sort of like, that's not the highest value treat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think we sort of go, our dog knows odor, this, that, and the other, you know, and we don't have to bring the maximum value anymore. But if your training is progressing and you're hitting them with, you know, more complicated searches, and you want these treats to continue to be the highest value treats that they have on the menu.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's all these fun motivation studies out there, if you want to get all sciencey, that actually you get the most bang for your buck when the dog gets a reward that is better than they were expecting. So that's kind of what you want to be doing, right? Is like, oh, I didn't expect that. That's a cool thing. That's going to increase their excitement to get to odor.
Yeah. And I mean, that we could go into the discussion, and maybe we could do another podcast on this about jackpotting or reward variability. I don't have a problem with any of those things. I think they're all tools you can use to get the most out of your dog, but even with varying your reward, I would still want them to be all pretty good. I think that's and that reminded me of just then of that little experiment we did with our dogs on a Thursday morning.
Yep.
When we brought like heaps of different treats and just to see what the dogs enjoyed the most.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was super fun. And, you know, I think as well with the, some of these dogs that are going up to the higher levels and they're competing in ANKC or in, you know, nose work three level containers and nose work two containers as well, they've got distractions.
Yep.
We can't expect our dog to walk away from a really good distractor if our reward is doesn't compare.
Absolutely. And that's also why I like to like have kind of a rotating roster of high value stuff as well, because I think that that also makes it more exciting. It's like, oh yeah, I can smell a Vegemite sandwich here, but I know if I keep looking for odor, I'm going to get something and who knows what it is, but I know it's going to be good, right? Like that's what I want my dog to be thinking rather than, there's a Vegemite sandwich or I could just go get the Prime 100 that I know my person has.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to create excitement, I think, in your reinforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can so do that with food.
Yes.
I think we can become a bit boring with food.
Yeah, I do too. And also, and I think it's also not just, okay, we're just going down a bit of a rabbit hole, but it's not just in the way you give food, right? Like you can add excitement. You can like let your dog know they're amazing when they find odor. It shouldn't just be like, here's your food.
Absolutely. And I think I'm guilty of that too, because as your dog progresses, you sort of take it for granted that they're going to be good and that they're going to be great. And I'm so much more excited when Buddy finds the odor than when Sira is.
Because it's that unexpected reward for you. It's like, oh, wow, that was better than I thought.
I'm the dog in this experiment. yeah, I'm so excited when he finds it because, and that must be reinforcing to him as well, because I'm, you know, good job. I'm like really animated and excited and happy and, you know, when Sira finds it, I'm like, yeah, good girl. Here's your treat. Let's go. You know, like,
yeah.
And I think maybe that's a good point. We shouldn't be taking it so much for granted that our dogs are awesome.
Yes.
And some people do this really well. Kirsten comes to mind that she's always so excited when her dog finds, you know, no matter which dog it is.
Yeah.
She's so reinforcing to her dogs. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's really nice to see.
Yeah. We did go down a rabbit hole there.
Yes, that's good.
Love a good rabbit hole. so do the dogs. Hi, Rory.
Hi, Rory. Thank you.
So let's we've got some events coming up. So let's go through some of those. The NW1 Plus, I do not have that date right in front of me.
I do. It is
excellent.
The 27th, Sunday the 27th. So just a couple of weeks from now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what are we today? The 8th. Okay. Yeah. So this weekend is the Dog Projects ORT.
Yep.
So that's on the 13th. Then nothing next weekend. And then Canine Nosy Parkers is hosting the NW1 Plus. So that will be all three odors, Birch, Anise and Clove, but in a nose work one, you know, set out one hide, varying times, most likely under 3 minutes, something like that.
Yep.
What else do we have coming up? There was announced today that the Canberra nose work training, which is John Sam down in Canberra, will be doing an ORT and that will be on the 9th of March, 2023. So he's given us plenty of warning.
Yes.
No excuses. But it is good to have another hosting ACSW trials. So that'll be great.
Yep.
Oh, I do have one other thing to add, actually. Okay, I have a video analysis, online video analysis class. That will be starting up soon. I'm just finalizing the format for that. And that will be focused on, like, you post your own videos and it's just focused on reviewing those. I think it'll be most relevant to dogs that are in the higher levels.
Yeah.
And reading their dogs on blind hides, reading their dogs on blank rooms, reading the dogs on sort of large areas and unknown heights. That's what that will be focused on.
That'll be fun. So will that be limited in numbers?
It will. I'm wanting to, because it's a sort of new format, I haven't done online classes since COVID. So just as because of time, really. But I think it's a gap that's in our training. That it's a real gap in some of the training. I think often we just rely on classes for our training. And we have all these videos. We record all our videos for, well, my classes do. And they can submit those videos even, because it's not like we get to go over a lot of those in depth where we really should be. And people can go over them on their own, but I think it's really good to get another pair of eyes on them too.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, that was a moment where your dog caught odor.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just have a bit of a deeper look, or and setting up future exercises as well to build on what we're seeing in that video, maybe.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, it will be limited to six teams, but if we get six teams for the video analysis, then I'll open it up to auditors as well.
Yep.
Which I think is also really valuable for people to be able to follow along.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that'll be probably starting in the next couple of weeks. All righty. Well, I think we covered it all.
Yes. And my dog's only barked once, so that was pretty good.
Yeah, good job, Rory. I think it's good to he gets his little two cents in while we're talking anyway. All right, well, I will chat to you soon.
Yes.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.